Darkness, dig east, out of the desert, burning sand. The voice of ancient Persia speaks to the heart of him who understands. To the crunch of the camel's padded feet, neath the purple glow of starlit skies, four travelers in life's caravan meet in their quest for earthly paradise. A sign on the mystic scroll of fate, the moving finger writes in gold. Do you hear the call of Omar? Wait. Kismet is written. Let the tale be told.
Henry Mason, a wealthy American importer of jewels traveling in the Orient, owns an emerald to which a curse is attached. Omar, the Wizard of Persia, tells Mason's friend, a merchant by the name of Malouf, to warn the American of the danger he is in. Malouf visits Mason.
Nonsense, Malouf. You're as superstitious as an old woman.
And the wise man treads softly where the way is dark, my friend.
No, Malouf. In America, we do things differently. There, when the way is dark, the wise man lights a match.
Oh, it pleases the esteemed Mr. Mason to death.
Oh, come now, Malouf. Don't be offended. It's only that I can't see any sense at all to these mysterious warnings of yours.
Malouf may not speak plainly of things he does not plainly see.
Well, that proves exactly what I say. You have no real basis for these vague fears.
It is as a friend that Malouf speaks.
Yes, yes, I'm sure of that. But
is it not true, my friend, that since your last visit to Shiraz, you have met with some misfortune?
Well, it's true my business has suffered. Then the loss of my gems in that caravan raid, that was a bitter blow, Malouf.
Ah, your business has suffered. And yet, when last you purchased precious stones from me, you spoke as though...
Yes, yes, I know. Things looked very favorable then. But I've not been able to dispose of some of my most valuable gems. That emerald, for instance.
An emerald? What emerald?
Oh, the one I bought on my last trip out here.
Oh, so you have it still, this emerald?
Yes, I still have it. It's in America with the other stones I bought in Shiraz. Too many other stones.
It is kismet. It is destiny.
What? What did you say?
It matters little. I but thought aloud. Tell me, is it only your business that has suffered? Your family, they are well.
Malouf, why do you ask me these questions? What's behind all this?
Ah, then I am right. All is not well. Your wife, perhaps.
Yes, yes, that's true. I've had letters from home which tell me that my wife, Martha, has been ill. And there are other things. But I don't understand. How could you know or even suspect?
If I could get these things, is it not possible, then, that I may be right in warning you of other dangers?
Of other dangers? Oh, but this is ridiculous, Malouf. Are you trying to make me believe that there's some special brand of bad luck pursuing me? That I'm subject to some evil influence?
My friend, I only ask you to be cautious. Place no trust in strangers.
Well, how can I do any business that way? Everyone in this country is a stranger to me. Bosh! Why, you'll have me believing that everyone is trying to murder me or something.
Yet these things that have happened to you, this bad luck, as you call it, does it not seem strange to you that...
Oh, stop it, stop it. Of course I've had a little hard luck. Everyone does at some time or another. But it's temporary. It can't last forever. Why, only this morning in the bazaar, something happened that shows how wrong you are.
Oh, something happened to you in the bazaar?
Yes. And let me tell you about it. I was looking for a scarf or some other trifle to buy for my wife when I heard a woman's voice.
He's not worth more than 20 dinars, I tell you. And more than 20 dinars I will not pay for it.
Rich scarf? Why, that sounds like Martha.
But, madame,
it is only a little box of sandalwood. 20 dinars is too much for it.
Why, I could almost swear that that was Martha's voice.
I won't pay it. I tell you, I can get one like it for only... Oh.
Well, I beg your pardon. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was staring at you so. It was your voice.
My voice?
Yes. For just a second, I thought it was my wife. Your voice sounds so much like hers.
My voice? Like that of your wife? But you are an American.
Why, yes. But how did you know that?
Oh, I can tell. No one seems quite as prosperous as the American gentleman.
I see. Well, you're right. And when I heard your voice, I thought I was back in America, listening to Martha argue with a department store clerk.
Martha, she is your wife?
Yes. And your voice is enough like hers to be... Well, of course, there's a slight difference in your accent and your inflection, but the quality is identical.
That is very interesting, yes. And does your wife bargain, like me, for a box of sandalwood, perhaps, in which to keep her jewels?
Why, Martha bargain for anything. Yes, even for a box in which to keep her jewels, I suppose.
Oh, perhaps. Like me, she is fond of beautiful jewels, no?
Oh, yes. Martha likes jewelry. What woman doesn't? Of course, she sees so many precious stones that it's rather an old story to her.
I do not understand.
Well, you see, in America, I am a dealer in precious stones.
Oh.
Naturally, my wife sees many of the jewels that pass through my hands.
You are a jewel merchant, yes. You have beautiful gems to sell. Perhaps I will buy.
Well, my gems, I'm afraid, are rather expensive.
You think perhaps because I bargained for a box of sandalwood, I have not money to pay for jewels.
Oh, please, now, I didn't mean to.
You must understand. I have many jewels, and only the most costly.
Well, I shall be glad, of course, to... show you what I have.
That is good. You shall bring your jewels to me at my home this afternoon. If you have what I want, you will find it well worth your trouble.
Well, this is a little unusual, but...
You have only
but...
to ask of other jewel merchants who I am and what sort of jewels I buy. They will tell you.
Well, that's hardly necessary, madam. At which time do you wish me to bring the stones, and in what particular gems are you interested?
Oh, if you have a diamond that is large enough and beautiful enough, well, we shall see.
Yes?
Some pearls, too, perhaps, if they're well matched for a necklace.
Of course.
And most of all, I am interested in...
Yes?
In emeralds.
And that's what happened. So you see, Malouf, my luck has changed after all. I know she must be immensely wealthy. She lives in a house that's like a palace and spends fortunes on her jewels.
I see. You believe, my friend, that your meeting with this woman is an omen of good fortune?
An omen? Don't be foolish, Malouf. It's considerably more than that. Don't you understand? It means that I'm going to sell some jewels, perhaps turn out thousands of dollars worth of business.
This woman, she gave to you her name?
Why, of course.
And that name is...
Well, let me see. Yes, that's it. Zaidi.
Ah, I see.
Well, what's the matter with you? Malouf, what are you looking so queer about?
Are you going to keep this appointment, my friend?
Why, of course I'll keep it. It means money to me.
But after all, you know very little of this woman.
Now listen here, Malouf. I'm not going to let you start spreading gloom all over the place again. Here's a chance for me to regain some of the money I've lost. and I'm going to take it.
I see you are determined. But as your friend, I ask you again to be careful.
Oh, I know you mean well, Malouf. But these warnings of yours are quite unnecessary. Anyway, I can always take care of myself.
Very well, my friend. I will say no more. And now I will leave you, for the hour of your appointment draws near.
Well, goodbye, Malouf. Goodbye. I'll see you later. And with the money I receive for my gems, we'll do business together.
I hope it shall be as you say. May fortune attend you. Wait, my friend. There they are. It is the bells, the mystic summons from the master.
Bells? What is it you say, Malouf? I hear no bells.
Quiet. 7. 4. 7. Yes, master. I hear.
What mad talk is this, Malouf?
My soul, where is it? Ah, let me see. 7. 4. 7.
Why, this man's mind seems...
Ah, that means come to me at once, master. I hasten to obey.
What?
I will see you later, Mr. Masson. I must now leave.
Malouf, I am pleased with you. You are prompt in obeying my message.
Yes, master. I came at once. You would speak with me?
Yes, Malouf. The time draws near. You must seek your friend from over the seas at once.
Yes, master.
And when you find him, bring him here to me.
What? So soon? Bring the American here?
Yes. It is the hour when the evil influence of the Emerald grows stronger. Only from Omar can the American learn what must be done if he would be happy. Even now, the curse of the Emerald is close upon him. Go, Malouf. Go before it is too late.
Yes, master. I go.
The fingers of fate, Malouf, are already tightening their grip. Oh. How did the fingers of fate tighten their grip around Henry Mason? Don't fail to hear the next episode of this thrilling story.